KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly sunny skies, 21 degrees. We look for it to be clear today and a high around 47. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Atlantic Medical Center, AMC, is launching a new rapid care service on Monday. AMC Rapid Care is walk-in care that is open 7 days a week for patients of all ages. Tammy Beyerlein, Chief Clinic Administrator, says we want to be here for our patients when they need care, and this helps to bridge that gap between when it's not an emergency but you need to be seen and your primary care provider is not available. So beginning Monday, the 24th, AMC Rapid Care will be open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. It will also be open on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. AMC Rapid Care does not offer appointments. Patients can just walk in and check in at admissions and wait to be seen by a rapid care provider. Patients are seen on a first-come, first-served basis. Beyerlein says AMC Rapid Care isn't a substitute for your regular provider. It's also not a substitute for the emergency department. The service, she says, is really for those minor health issues such as ear infections, coughs, minor stitches, and such that can't wait. Similarly, AMC Rapid Care providers will not address chronic conditions or take care of prescription refills because those issues are most appropriate to be discussed during an appointment with a primary care provider. It's also important to note, she said, that AMC Rapid Care providers will not prescribe narcotics. The cost of a visit to the AMC Rapid Care is the same as office fees for the Atlantic Medical Center appointments. Regular co-payments still apply and should be paid during the check-in process. Due to the addition of the AMC Rapid Care and extending evening hours, the previous evening clinic's entrance will no longer be used. All patients coming to the Atlantic Medical Center for a scheduled appointment or AMC Rapid Care should use the main entrance. A trial has been delayed for a woman charged with the shooting deaths of two men and the attempted murders of two law enforcement officers in western Iowa. The Daily Nonpareil reports the trial of April Montello Roberts had been scheduled to begin earlier this week, but the new starting date is May the 5th. A 44-year-old Shenandoah resident has pleaded not guilty to two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of attempted murder of an officer, and one count of burglary and one count of robbery. One person died, another was injured during a crash in Adair County Thursday morning. The State Patrol said yesterday 47-year-old Daryl Wayne Smith of Winterset died in the crash that happened on Highway 92 east of Greenfield at around 6:37 a.m. Authorities say the Chevy pickup that Smith was driving westbound on Highway 92 near Pinewood Avenue, for unknown reasons, crossed the center line into the eastbound lane and collided head-on with the 2003 International truck. The driver of the truck, 44-year-old Jeremy Houck of Corning, was injured in the crash and flown by Life Flight to Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Smith died at the scene. The accident remains under investigation, and both men were wearing their seatbelts. Sheriff's deputies in Page County Thursday arrested 42-year-old Jeffrey Wade Bartles of Rural Coin on four Page County warrants for probation violations. Bonds on those warrants amounted to $40,000 altogether. Bartles was arrested in Clarinda without incident. He was transported to the Page County Jail and held pending further court proceedings. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office yesterday said it was a slow period of activity over the past week for those folks. On Sunday, 45-year-old Riet Kwong Pinyon of Omaha was arrested following a traffic stop by the Iowa State Patrol in Shelby County. Pinyon was taken into custody on a valid Woodbury County warrant for probation violation. He was brought to the Shelby County Jail and processed before being turned over to Woodbury County authorities. And 39-year-old Brian Christopher Heller of Avoca was arrested following a traffic stop at around 10 p.m. Saturday. Upon further investigation, Heller was taken into custody for possession of drug paraphernalia. He was released a short time later after posting a $300 cash bond. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 33-year-old William Dean Meredith of Glenwood was arrested Wednesday afternoon on a warrant for probation violation. His bond was set at $1,000. And 36-year-old Robert Paul Leckington of Council Bluffs was arrested late Wednesday night for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond was set at $2,300. Prosecutors have charged a woman who told authorities that she intended to shoot co-workers at the Omaha Veterans Hospital. U.S. District Court records say Tina Harden has pleaded not guilty to a charge of influencing, impeding, or retaliating against a federal official by threats. The records say Harden had been working as a hospital shuttle bus driver. The records say that Harden, who is black, said that she was the victim of racism at the hospital. She also said she wanted to hurt a manager who gave her a bad appraisal. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports 26-year-old Andrew Brashine Buchanan, a black male convicted of robbery in the second degree in Polk County, failed to report back to the Marshalltown Residential Facility, or RCF, as required Wednesday night. Buchanan is 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 156 pounds. You can see his picture on this same story at KJAN.com on the news page. Buchanan was admitted to the work release facility on February 17th. Anyone with information about his location should contact their police department. The driver has been charged with two counts of vehicular homicide following a Des Moines collision in which two men died. Police say the crash occurred around 11:45 a.m. on Thursday when a southbound car struck an eastbound car that had just entered the roadway. Two men in the eastbound car died after being rushed to a hospital. Police have identified them as 26-year-old Mauricio Ruiz Quintana and 22-year-old Brian Martinez Ruiz. The other driver was identified as 23-year-old Alejandro Contreras. Authorities say a deer sent flying when it was hit by another car in southeast Iowa crashed through the window of a second car, killing its driver. The accident happened a little after 7 p.m. Wednesday on Highway 92 just west of Sigourney. The State Patrol says the deer went onto the roadway out of the north ditch and was struck by a westbound vehicle. The deer was then knocked into the air by that impact and went through the windshield of an eastbound car, killing the driver, 45-year-old Donald Burdick, who lived in North English. Seven of six Republicans on an Iowa Senate committee have endorsed a plan to require more of Iowans getting health care benefits through Medicaid to work or volunteer in their community. Senator Jason Schultz, a Republican from Schleswig, is chairman of the Senate Labor Relations Committee.
Able-bodied Iowans should work if they're receiving public benefits.
The bill does have exceptions. The parents of young children and disabled Iowans would not be required to fulfill the requirement, but other adults between the ages of 18 and 64 would have to show state officials that they're working 20 hours a week. Schultz says his constituents want the state's welfare programs to promote the Iowa work ethic.
They want to see people work if they can, and they also support that we are a well-off enough state and country that we can take care of the people who can't take care of themselves. So it's not mean-spirited what I'm hearing back home, but they are very frustrated when they know of neighbors who could get a job but are receiving public assistance benefits and kind of mocking the system.
Lana Shope of the Iowa Community Action Association says nearly 80% of the working age adults enrolled in Medicaid already have a job, but many have inconsistent work schedules.
So they might be working 20 hours this week, but next week they're only going to get 10, which is going to make them out of compliance, which then jeopardizes their health care coverage through Medicaid, not only for them, but for their children.
The bill is now eligible for debate in the full Senate. Finally, in state news, a House committee has unanimously voted to jumpstart the process of restoring felon voting rights for the 2020 election. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
In 2005, then-Governor Tom Vilsack issued an executive order that automatically restored voting rights when paroled felons completed their sentences. Governor Terry Branstad rescinded that policy in 2011. Last night, the House State Government Committee voted to add the language from Vilsack's order to an election-related bill. Republican Representative Bobby Kaufman, the chairman of the committee, says it's a new pathway for Iowa to stop being the only state in the country that requires released felons to get approval from the governor before they may vote. Last year, Governor Kim Reynolds called on the legislature to permanently resolve the matter and draft a constitutional amendment that would automatically restore felon voting rights. Her fellow Republicans in the House took steps last year to do so, but the Republican-led Senate has not. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Now this week, a Senate committee voted to set up a system that would kick in if a constitutional amendment is approved by Iowans. It would require felons to pay the full amount of court-ordered victim restitution before they may vote. It would also forever ban bar felons from convicted of murder, manslaughter, and certain sex crimes from voting. The news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.